Without a doubt, the disinformation that is being reported and the lack of truth about COVID has come at a very high cost to each of us. Today, my friends, we'll bring a wealth of information and a sense of urgency. Today's talk is entitled The Political Suppression of COVID News That Could Save Your Life. Just after the show music plays here in seconds, you'll hear the voice of a great patriot and medical doctor, Dr. Elizabeth Leave-Leet, right here on The Voice of a Nation.
The heart and soul of a nation beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
I really am excited to share with you and your audience the very exciting and positive news that we've just received as of yesterday, that two major medical centers in the United States, physicians, researchers, and ethicists, including cardiologists, have written to the FDA as a coordinated effort to request the FDA to issue a new emergency use authorization for hydroxychloroquine to be used in early outpatient treatment of COVID-19 patients. This is work that is truly breaking news, and it is a stunning development that supports efforts that we've been making since March to get through the FDA and the state restrictions on HCQ. And what has just happened with the efforts from the Henry Ford Health System team of researchers and doctors in Detroit, Michigan, and the Baylor Scott and White Heart and Vascular Institute in Dallas, in their research studies in early outpatient people with COVID, they have found supporting the message that we've been bringing out for several months, that if you start hydroxychloroquine early, in soon after symptoms begin, within the first few days, that this medicine is reducing the death rate from 50% in the Henry Ford study to 80% in the study of 2,200 patients released by Dr. Zelenko recently. And that difference of starting in the early outpatient setting when symptoms first begin, instead of waiting, as the United States protocol has been, until people are deathly sick and are in the hospital and have to be put on ventilators, that is a huge game changer that we've been talking about for some time based on the world information. And now we have two very credible U.S. medical centers teams that have shown the same results in controlled trials. And I think this is truly a game changer for the American public, because people have been reading on the internet about the safety of hydroxychloroquine and how other countries are using it to keep people out of the hospital and lower the death rate. But then we see all the negative news in the United States, where there's been an orchestrated propaganda campaign to discredit this very safe medicine. And now to have the Baylor Scott and White Heart and Vascular Institute speaking out and their cardiologist authoring the letter to the FDA, I'm going to read a couple of quotes from that letter to your audience, because I think it is so profoundly important. And this is also then going to be a call to action to your listeners. We have got to put the public pressure on our senators, our congressmen, the White House, and our state leaders, the governors of states that have restricted hydroxychloroquine and are causing more deaths across the country by their restrictions, preventing doctors from practicing medicine with freedom like we've always had. So your listeners are going to have to help us, but this team of researchers has given us the ammunition that we need to fight this battle. And as I said in my letter to Senator Johnson yesterday, asking for his help to get this to the president's attention, it's really true that at some point the Trump administration is going to have to take charge of this out-of-control situation, with governors making medical decisions and with the FDA bureaucrats restricting doctors. And people are dying and businesses have been shut down because of these FDA roadblocks and because governors and medical boards and pharmacy boards who are not medically trained are stepping in and making political decisions based on propaganda and false information. And they are illegally overriding the normal FDA regulations that allow your doctors to make your decision about your medical care. And we should be able as physicians to evaluate our patients, decide what's in the best interest of that patient, and do what the patient would like done to help them reduce their risk of getting sick, going to the hospital, or dying. And that is truly where I'm coming from on this. It's not a political issue. It should never be a political issue. The virus doesn't discriminate between Democrats and Republicans and independents and Green Party and Blue Party and Moon Party. The virus is affecting everybody, and doctors treat everybody, and we don't ask your political affiliation before we treat them. So we need the governors and the politicians and bureaucrats out of this mess. This situation is really reaching desperate levels, and I want your listeners to understand how important this is. This disaster has got to be reined in. And I'm asking the question, what is it going to take? How many more people have to die before we get action to let doctors be doctors, let the patients and doctors work together on what they need and have access to a cheap and effective, safe drug? Now, having said all of that, I really want your listeners to hear what the cardiologist at Baylor Scott & White Heart and Vascular Institute just wrote this week to Dr. Hahn, the commissioner for the FDA. And he said, the FDA cautions about hydroxychloroquine should not be applied to outpatient treatment in response to the evolving observations that hydroxychloroquine actually helps outpatient people more effectively. We should not be waiting till people are floridly sick in the hospital. And he goes on to talk about the fact that state medical boards, as is happening in Texas and Arizona and many states across the country, New York, Michigan, Nevada, Missouri, Minnesota, all states across the country, the medical boards are restricting hydroxychloroquine. And the cardiologist is writing to say state medical boards should rescind their restrictions on hydroxychloroquine use for COVID-19 patients in states where they've been put in place. And we recognize that prolonging the QT interval is a well-recognized, but it's infrequent complication, less than 1%. Data safety monitoring boards have not declared safety concerns in any clinical trial published to date. So physicians should be allowed to assess the benefits and risk of hydroxychloroquine, as with any other therapy administered to patients who are at risk for any cardiac side effects. So this is, I think, extremely important. Then he goes on to say, over a course of 7 weeks of treatment and 49 days of follow-up, we had one serious adverse event, which was a hospitalization unrelated to the study or the study medication, which was hydroxychloroquine. No deaths. There were no clinical arrhythmia events and no episodes of QT prolongation in our monitoring of adverse events. So in our view, a prophylactic dosing scheme should be followed, and he goes into what that is. And Baylor is asking the FDA to act quickly and decisively with the emergency use authorization that was sent by the Henry Ford Health System doctors. And I'm going to share with your audience a few quotes from the Henry Ford team that has gone through this. And the leader of that team said, "The minimal results of antiviral therapy in late stage COVID patients in the hospital have all demonstrated a problem if you wait too late." Then he goes on to say, 5 published studies, including 2 controlled clinical trials and 3 more studies waiting for publication, have all demonstrated significant major effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine as a cheap antiviral medicine when used early in the outpatient stage of COVID-19 infection. And this is in addition to over 30 smaller patient trials, which demonstrate the same results. The Henry Ford team also said the doctrine of stay-at-home quarantines and population lockdown without testing to wait for COVID-infected patients to develop shortness of breath and the need for hospitalization, as well as the attendant overwhelming of community medical facilities, is unrealistic. It's also not part of the national pandemic influenza plan that was painstakingly developed by Health and Human Services as the prototype response for a large serious respiratory RNA virus infectious disease outbreak. So they are going on to support with research studies worldwide and the US and providing all sorts of clinical documentation. And they are requesting immediate urgent FDA release of an emergency use authorization for patients and doctors across the country to be able to use hydroxychloroquine in the outpatient setting at the beginning of disease, as many of us have already been doing with very good results. But these are larger studies that support that and major institutions that are presenting the data to support it. And I just can't emphasize enough what a significant accomplishment this is, but we're going to need public support. There's been so much backlash in the media that's been an orchestrated campaign to discredit hydroxychloroquine and prevent the safe reopening and reduce the fear in creating turmoil leading up to the election. Those that do not want President Trump to succeed have been working overtime to undermine the safety and effectiveness of a drug that could get COVID under control. And now we have the medical organizations and health systems that are pleading with the FDA to issue this emergency use authorization and make a statement, take the stand for patient lives and for doctors' medical freedom to help patients end this fear and end the death rate and reduce the death rate and reduce the hospitalizations. So this is a time for your listeners to get really active and involved. And I just thank you for the opportunity to presenting this breaking news on The Voice of a Nation on America Out Loud Talk Radio today.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. there haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Welcome back to the voice of a nation here. You were listening to Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet at the top of the show. And, you know, the concept here, I just wanted to step aside and let her just bring the gospel truth to our audience and to America. You know, I have been working with Dr. Vliet now since really the beginning of the year, since COVID really got underway and started to take the sound bites and the media headlines as it has. And, you know, we've got to know each other very well over that time. We've talked about a lot of these challenges. We've rallied around the concept. And I started hearing her early on talk about the effectiveness of this drug, because I really didn't know any much more about it than probably you did out there. And I was hearing the reports, and I know President Trump had said what he said at the press conference, and that's kind of when that whole thing turned, quite honestly, and still has become a political hot potato firebomb, you know? And so there's so much to this conversation today that is so important that not only do you need to understand, but you need to get out there to the public and to your circle of friends and followers, influencers here. Now, let me tell you up front here, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, she has no skin in the game here. She's a doctor. She's an MD. This is what she does. She treats people for COVID. I mean, this is who she is. She passionately cares about people. She cares about this country. She cares very deeply about life and the value of life. That's her skin in the game. That's it. I mean, one of the most honorable people you will ever meet in your life is this doctor right here. And so that's why I have no hesitation putting her on, giving her the floor to do what she needs to do, because I have that confidence in her and the message, which is so vital to get out there. She herself has invested countless hours. She has given up weekends trying to push this information out there, working with Senator Ron Johnson, working with other political leaders, working within the system, trying to get the information out there desperately for people to understand, hey, look over here, there is another answer. And, you know, the problem and the challenge is, people, you'll get all of these reports coming where what the media does is they're like a dog with a bone. And they get a couple of twisted, tainted studies over here, and they throw the spotlight all over it, like everything they do, for their own purposeful political reasons. And then, you know, that's always front page news, the bad information, whenever they can shine a spotlight on it. But God forbid there's good information that comes up to show what is really happening here, and they ignore the entire story. It is buried so far back down, if it even is anywhere, you'll never catch it, see it, or know it. Now, how twisted is that in your mind? Pretty sick, isn't it? Yeah. And that's what that just tells you. But think about this now. That just tells you how low they go. And really, I mean, it's just about impossible to wrap your mind around this stuff, to think that this is what really happens here, you know? But that it is. I mean, even the value of life and the sanctity of human life is not important enough for them to tell the truth. And there's so much more to this story. And, you know, they've been pushing a lot this remdesivir. You've been hearing that. And there's a lot, and I want to fill you in on a couple of stats there, because Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet will be on with me in just a moment here. And she sent me another report on that, some interesting news on that, drug. that people need to know and they need to understand. It's not nearly as effective as this one. In fact, there are some things that need to be reported on to share with you all about that. But where I want to go now is talk about the why, the political why, and then we'll come back to the medical and do it. So let's weave the story. Let me tell you first, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, she is an independent physician, and she specializes in preventive and climacteric medicine. And she's an important voice. She's a columnist and just a strong voice here at America Out Loud. We are always thrilled to have her on the program. And so this was a little different today, what we did. And what I wanted to do is just give Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet the floor to come on in. And Dr. Vliet, I think you did tremendous by bringing that information out. First of all, with the studies, the information, the FDA, Senator Johnson, the letter, all of the components and pieces that are so important and part of this story. Let's talk first here, before we get into more of the medical components of this. I want to talk about the political piece of this thing. You wrote an outstanding op-ed on the platform this past week in celebration of our nation's 244th birthday, by the way. It was entitled Tyrants Today Threaten America's Independence with the COVID-19 Weapon. And so let's talk about that political component, because you started off here and you said, as a physician, you are shocked and outraged at the unprecedented manner in which medical information is being distorted, manipulated, and the outright lies in the political agenda. And that's where you opened it up. You really believe in your heart this whole thing is twisted and tainted, you believe, because I'm guessing the 2020 election. Is that correct?
Malcolm, I don't think there's any question about that statement. There is too much evidence of collusion in the mainstream media to present negative information, dangerously wrong medical information about hydroxychloroquine in the mainstream media, and deliberately using language that scares people and frightens them, and it has cost lives. There is no question in my mind. I hear from patients every day who say things like, well, I heard on CNN that hydroxychloroquine can kill you. And that's the fear that's being generated. Or I read in the LA Times that in Brazil, there was a study that hydroxychloroquine killed you. Well, what the LA Times failed to disclose is that that was chloroquine, an older, more dangerous version of hydroxychloroquine, and the people who did that study used doses that were double the known lethal dose of chloroquine. They were giving people double the lethal dose, and they were giving it to elderly, terribly sick patients. In fact, the study was so egregiously dangerous that the Brazilian government is investigating it in several different areas, including investigating possible criminal action of that group in the Amazon. And yet the LA Times blasted that study across the country. New York Times picked it up, Washington Post picked it up, and they're all blasting out the dangerous information about a different drug using lethal doses, and they never clarify any of the points that meant that that study did not apply to hydroxychloroquine.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about. And they put out the most egregious negative possible headlines and information they possibly can. And the only thing I can gather from this, Dr. Vliet, is that their goal, the only common denominator I see for them to be this much in your face with what I see out there is that they want to try to make President Trump look like that he's unknowledgeable and just a pompous ass. That's what I get out of it. Am I wrong?
Oh, I think you're right. But also, I think there's an even more sinister aspect.
Wow.
And I'm saying this as somebody who is trained in both medicine and psychiatry, and I understand the use of propaganda to change people's thinkings. I've spent time in the Soviet Union during the Cold War and behind the Iron Curtain countries in Eastern Europe during the Cold War. I know how propaganda is used to control people, and I am very concerned at the way that I see the media using techniques to present information that is dangerous, wrong, and that is slanted to control people and generate fear, because the more that people are made to stay home, the more they suffer economic damage, the more they don't get the safe, effective treatment for COVID and can go about their lives, the more that it is setting up for control through another party to take over after this election and bring in total socialistic control in America. That has been their agenda since the 1950s. It has escalated since the 2008 election, and it is ramped up in degrees that I have never seen in this country in my entire life in this election cycle. And it is absolutely about the election. It's absolutely about control, taking control of people, their lives, their freedom, their medical care, their ability to work. I mean, there's even talk about you can't get a job if you haven't had a vaccination. And these vaccines that are being worked on are being done without the normal safety studies in animals first. They are being done rapidly. There are a lot of medical concerns about them, a lot of doctors speaking out on that, and I'm not a vaccine expert.
Well, they're rushing them to market, and I got to tell you, when those vaccines come out, I am not going to be in line to get one.
Well, I'm not planning to either, because I have serious medical concerns about it. The problem we may be running into, and there's a movement in Florida that is quite alarming that I've got to dig into a little more and find out what that's about, that's tying vaccines into getting medication refills and employment status. We've got to dig into all this, and we've got to shed light on some of these efforts. But this is all about control of the population, and it's really control about your freedom. And it's trying to undo the very changes that President Trump has been trying to implement to turn power back to the people. The politicians, the entrenched bureaucrats, do not want the American people to have their rightful power under our Constitution.
Yeah. When you talk about the president returning power to the people, remember, Lee, that's what the president said at his inaugural address there in D.C. Do you remember that? That's what he talked about. I absolutely remember that.
That was one of the most powerful inaugural speeches I've heard in my lifetime. And that was exactly, and I want to tell you something else. That was what John F. Kennedy, as president, was trying to do right as he was assassinated. He was removing power from the CIA, from the military industrial complex, and bringing our troops home, and he was assassinated. That is exactly what John F. Kennedy was trying to do. It's what President Trump campaigned on. And when I heard his inaugural speech, I knew that he had a good understanding of how dangerous the deep state really is. And it's not just Democrats, although they are leading the charge. It is deep state Republicans, it's entrenched bureaucrats, and quite frankly, the term limits with Congress is not going to help the problem of the deep state bureaucrats. The FDA problems that we've been fighting on hydroxychloroquine have been the deep state bureaucrats. Even the new FDA commissioner, Dr. Hahn, doesn't really have the power to override them, because every time we've made progress on that and he seems on board with us, the deep state people who've been there for 30 years or more undermine our efforts and somehow come out with something else negative.
Yeah.
It's just staggering what we've been up against.
Lee, you bring up a good point. Listen, I tell people all the time, yes, we need term limits for sure. There's no doubt in my mind, but that's only one small piece of the equation, which you just pointed out really well. You're right. There's a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of agencies and a lot of levels of government. And a lot of these levers of government are, like I said, you know, one thing I talked about a while back, my friend, is this. You know, beyond term limits for the politicians, even in key positions in these agencies and in the government levers of power. I think there also, quite frankly, needs to be a limit of time served. And I said that a while back. In other words, if you're heading up an agency or you're in a powerful position, I believe there should be a limit of time that people can be in those positions. So I'm talking, when I say term limits, I'm talking control the entire system, Lee. Does that make sense?
Oh, I totally agree with you. I mean, Dr. Fauci's been at NIH 35 years, and I think we're seeing the dangers of that as we are looking at one person having way too much power to make decisions that affect the whole country. And what people don't realize is that Dr. Fauci is not a frontline practicing physician. He is a vaccine researcher, and he has been in government working at NIH in laboratories and offices his whole career. He has not been treating patients. And his recommendations, I mean, we've seen the flip-flops on the mask, and we realize that the medical studies have shown that these masks and facial coverings that people are being made to wear are not preventing viral transmission through those masks. Viral particles are too small, and the mask don't have the filtration capacity to prevent it. The surgical mask that people are wearing, the homemade facial coverings, they're not preventing viral transmission. And all the people that are pushing that know that's exactly correct.
So what purpose do they serve? What purpose do they serve?
They serve control. It's that simple. They're controlling the population. If they can subjugate the population to wear a mask everywhere, the next step is subjugating the population to take a required vaccine.
Yeah, there's something so wicked, and it is a sinister plot and plan. I can see it, Lee, and you can see how polarizing that whole conversation is. And then you see, you know, the presidential candidate Joe Biden come in with a mask always hanging from his ear, or one, and it's always what they're trying to push to the public. You said the key word a little while ago here: fear. I think fear is the word that I think of mostly, that they are really trying to instill in the populace is fear. And that fear, I think, is really, and you know, I got to tell you that the sad part of it is a lot of it is working, because I see people on a day-to-day basis, as you do, that are, you can see the fear in their eyes. You can see the fear in their mannerisms and how they handle things. And people just don't know how to go against the uncommon slot of negative news and information. And they just think that, you know, the powers to be must know what they're doing, you know, Dr. Vliet. And they just think that, well, we got to, you know, suck it up and do what they tell us to do. And I think that's how that whole lockdown thing got started to begin with.
Well, I think you're right. But also remember, every totalitarian government throughout human history has controlled the population through fear. Fundamentally,
right.
That is exactly how you control people. And I want to remind your listeners again of a point that I've made over and over and over through all of this, based on the worldwide data. Medically, COVID-19 is a very treatable medical illness if the symptoms are caught early and people have access to the common, safe, effective, cheap antiviral medicines such as hydroxychloroquine that's widely used. And with more testing, we have done more testing than any country in the world. And we now find that COVID-19 has no significant increase in deaths over that seen with the yearly influenza seasons, because we have more people that have been exposed and have had it, and it was mild and they didn't know it. So the death numbers against the larger number of positive cases is actually good news, that there are more people that are positive than we knew about, because it means the mortality rate is lower. And we're actually seeing fewer deaths with COVID-19 than we did with the 1918 flu pandemic and the 1968 Hong Kong flu. So in spite of the media headlines that are hyping fear again, with, we have all these surge of cases in Arizona, and I have patients all over the country in my practice, and people are writing us saying, oh, I've been hearing about the surge of cases in Arizona. I hope you're okay. And I said, No, we're not having more hospitalizations and ICU admissions for COVID. We're having more people go in the hospital and in the ICU because they had surgeries that were postponed for 3 months. And we have more people. And what people don't realize, your listeners may not know, every hospital in the country is testing people before they go in for all these surgeries that have been postponed. So of course we're going to see more positives because we're doing more testing. But we've also got, no patient can go into a hospital in the United States right now without getting a COVID test. So of course there are more testing.
Right.
We're going to see more positive numbers. And where the hospital capacity is increased is they're finally getting back to their normal capacity. Hospitals normally run at 85 to 90% mm-hmm. capacity. I've talked to ICUs. I've read statements from hospital CEOs. ICUs normally want to run around 95% capacity. This is not unusual. And yet the media, mm-hmm. oh, we're nearing capacity. And this is we're having such a serious problem. This is where hospitals want to run, and the public doesn't know that.
Aren't we talking also that we need herd immunity? Don't we need that? Don't we need this?
Absolutely.
I mean, this thing has got to sweep through our nation. There's no, I mean, you're not going to lock yourself up like Rip Van Winkle in a room somewhere. I mean, you got to live life.
And, well, you know, and the more you stay locked down,
right.
the less likelihood you are of developing the herd immunity. That
exactly.
ends up
See, that's what I didn't understand about the lockdown to begin with right there. You just said it right there. I never subscribed, and I really believe the president did a wrong move by locking this nation down. And I know people support the president may or may not agree with it, but I believe it was a wrong move. What do you think?
Well, I do want to say, remember a key point. At the time that decision was made, the United States and every other Western country in the world was being lied to by China and the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
And we did not have mm-hmm. accurate medical information.
That's right. That's right.
To make other decisions. They did it out of an abundance of caution. In hindsight, was it a good decision? Maybe not. But I can't fault President Trump on that decision because we were being lied to. He was being lied to. Our leaders were being lied to. Every Western nation in the world faced that same problem.
Yeah, no, you're right on it right there. No, I'm talking hindsight here. Totally 100%. That's what I'm talking, Lee. I'm not talking the fact that the president was... did this intentionally, you know, or not at all. I mean, he could only make the decision based on the information he had. Correct? Right? That's it.
Correct. And all sorts of football games are won by Monday morning quarterbacking. I really have to say, in medicine, as in life, you have to make the best decision you can at the time based on the information you have. And now, going forward, is it a good idea to continue it? I think absolutely not. It doesn't make medical sense.
Yeah.
It's certainly not making sense for the safety of the economy and the country.
I got to tell you, I love what you say there. You're so smooth and so good. I really do. I love what you say there. It's like, that's a nice, pleasant way that Dr. Vliet put Malcolm in his place. And I just love it. And she says, oh, no, it's just perfect. I just adore you. You know, she says, well, Monday morning quarterback, we lost a lot. We win a lot of games, wouldn't we? And, you know, you're 1,000,000% right. How many times? Oh, yeah. On Monday, we always had the answer to why they didn't win that game, right, on the weekend, right?
Right.
When we used to care about football, that was. Not so much anymore today, probably, for a lot of us. But I was thinking about another point a moment ago you made. I think it's an important point. And you talk and you emphasize always about catching this early, about the hydroxychloroquine and catching it early, the problem, the COVID problem, so that if you have it, this is how it helps you, right? Am I right? That's it. You've always said that. But
yes.
Isn't that the same? You know, I think that point is so lost on so many people, and they say, well, so it's not as effective otherwise? Like, is that drug supposedly, it's no good then? But you know what? Isn't every other disease like that as well, Dr. Vliet? I mean, if you have cancer or you have some other life debilitating problem, isn't it important and imperative of your life that disease is caught early?
Absolutely, Malcolm.
Well, there you go.
My work has been preventive medicine for 35 years. And that's the whole point.
But nobody's talking about the connection. Where I'm talking everyday diseases and problems. Listen, what I'm talking about is this. I think this is a big point, Dr. Vlee. I don't care if it's cancer, if it's a heart condition, high blood pressure, you got problems in your arteries, whatever it is. God forbid you have to catch it early. If you wait too long, not only are you in risk and danger, but a lot of the medications and things that would probably and potentially help you will not. So what is so different about this in that comparison?
There is nothing different about this. Every country that has controlled its death rates and had better death rates than ours has started at the first onset of symptoms. We don't wait for the test results. Because they take too long. What your listeners don't realize is that in the COVID-19 infection, and this is true to some extent with influenza as well, but in COVID-19, the viral load in the body explodes exponentially by day 6. That means we have 5 days from onset of symptoms until you start treatment before you are already on the path to serious, devastating illness. And COVID-19, unlike the flu, causes an exaggerated hyperreaction by the immune system that leads to what's called the cytokine storm. And that is what is killing people in the hospital. So it's a critical window that researchers in every country around the world, including this one, have shown. We've basically got 5 days to start hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and with or without azithromycin or doxycycline. We've got 5 days to start the medicine and catch it when it can stop the virus from multiplying and making you so deathly sick. Wow. That's 5 days of time. And if the test at the beginning was taking 7 to 10 days to come back, obviously you've got a problem. And so what I have done and what many doctors across the country have been doing and what doctors in other countries are doing, India is a classic example where they have really had a government national standard directive to their doctors. This is what we recommend. Start the medicine immediately with the symptom development. And the Baylor people just came out with this recommendation this week. Start the medicine as soon as the symptoms manifest and get it going early, and then you stop the virus from entering the cells and you stop the multiplication. And that's when Dr. Zelenko showed that you reduced the death rate by 80% in his study, and Henry Ford showed that they reduced the death rate 50%, but they were already waiting till people hit the emergency room.
You're getting real-world information right now. This is important. It's very, very important. Real-world information from Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vlee. Now, in a moment, just after this quick pause here, you'll get an email address from the announcer. You can email us if you have questions, thoughts, or if there's really something vital or some sort of message you want to get through to us or even to Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vlee. We will certainly forward them on. We'll take a quick pause and be back with Dr. Elizabeth Vlee in just a moment.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Welcome back to the Voice of a Nation, and we're here with Dr. Elizabeth Lee Fleet. We're talking about, well, a lot of things, very much, but more so the political suppression of COVID news that could save your life. Now, you're hearing a lot, there's a lot of takeaways from this program, without a doubt, and you're learning a lot. This is really, as I said, real valuable information for all of us. Now, Dr. Bleet, I want to talk about a message you sent me earlier here about remdesivir, and I'm just pulling it up now on my phone here. And let me read a couple of things and have you opine on this, because I found it very interesting. And it was the remdesivir effect, this recent piece here on this column. And there's some pieces highlighted. I want to read to you just these couple that you said here. It says here, however, the sheer volume and variety of information being thrown at us make it difficult to judge which bits are true and which hyperbole. And then you say here, almost every television channel and newspaper seems to be gushing over the miraculous effects of the antiviral drug remdesivir and that other cure. What did I say? Isn't that what I said? And that's what he's saying here, right? Everybody's there talking about it. And so there's a certain study they're talking about, which I'll let you pronounce so I don't mess it up. It's just another study. It's just another study. After all, no one is talking about it. But the results of this study deserve prominence for at least two reasons. Can you talk about that, what those reasons are and what that study is, please, about the remdesivir?
Well, the remdesivir study that Dr. Fauci described as a game changer, all it did was change the hospitalization from 15 days without the drug to 11 days with the drug. So a four-day difference in hospitalization, no improvement in mortality. And remember, I just quoted you the study from Henry Ford, 50% reduction in mortality with hydroxychloroquine, even in hospitalized patients, 80% reduction in mortality with Dr. Zelenko using it early in his outpatients. So remdesivir did not reduce mortality. It had serious side effects. 23% had serious liver impairment. 25% had serious life-threatening side effects. And even the company's own press release reported a 6% rate of acute respiratory failure with remdesivir in the 5-day treated group and a 10% respiratory failure in the 10-day treated group, and that's what the drug is supposed to help. So, and the fact that it has to be given in the hospital, IV, and it costs about $2,500 for a course of treatment versus $20 for a 5-day course of hydroxychloroquine, and you don't have to be in the hospital, and you can take it as a pill, and it reduces death rates. This is truly an exaggerated portrayal of a very expensive drug. And by the way, China has an interest in the patent on remdesivir. So by using remdesivir, we're actually supporting China as well. And we are looking at the fact that you have to be in the hospital. So you're already sicker and you already have a higher risk of dying. This is just not acceptable medical practice to be forcing people to wait until late stage disease and risking a higher rate of death and complications. The other thing nobody's talking about is that we're pulmonology people and critical care people are very concerned about the pulmonary fibrosis complications. Even if people survive COVID, And they're looking at the fact that many of these patients are going to leave the hospital with permanent lung damage.
To the lungs. Yeah, that's the problem. That's what COVID does, right? I mean, it attacks the lungs.
Yes. Well, it attacks the whole body, but especially the lungs.
Well, that's why a lot of people end up with, like, they can't breathe. And they suffer badly in the last, day they're on ventilators.
Exactly.
And all that.
And that's, for the most part, that's the cytokine storm kicking in. Mm-hmm. And that is really the thing that people need to understand, is that this virus is different. If you wait too long, mm-hmm. and the inflammatory reaction has kicked in, you've really got much more serious damage at that stage compared to the flu than what people are used to with viral respiratory diseases.
Right. Okay. So let's do this now. In our last minutes left here, I want to talk to you about the freedom component. Before I turn the corner here and talk about some of the points of interest you have in here, which I think are very well said about our liberties, really. Is there any other medical piece that is so vital? I mean, we've laid out a very compelling case here today. Have we missed anything that really we need to inform people of, or have we got it all in here?
Well, I think the most important thing, two things I want to inform you listeners. Number one, there are things that you can do to stay healthy and reduce your risk of infection that are different from what you've been hearing. Number one, you can start increasing your zinc intake in conjunction with checking with your doctor, make sure it's okay. Increase your exercise, again, with your doctor's approval based on your medical condition. Stress management, meditation, prayer, visualization, healthy eating, cut out the processed foods, cut out the sugars, get rid of the things that make your body unhealthy and more at risk. And remember, if you have diabetes, kidney disease, high blood pressure, if you have heart disease or existing lung disease, you are much more at risk for the damage from COVID and death from COVID. So getting treated early in that first 5 days is critically important for people at high risk. Those are the patients in my practice that I have felt really needed to be on top of treatment quickly, the ones who have other medical problems that we're currently working with.
Thank you for saying all of that. That was tremendous. I mean, that was a great bit of information for people. What you're talking about is lifestyle, you know, Dr. Blake. You're talking lifestyle here. But I like the way you said zinc.
People have to be careful about the dosing. What they're using in the COVID protocols with hydroxychloroquine is 50 milligrams of elemental zinc, which is equivalent to 220 milligrams of zinc sulfate. Mm-hmm. And then there are lots of other forms of zinc. I'm not recommending for my patients that they use zinc picolinate, because the Germans found many years ago that increased the picolinate increased the risk of liver tumors, and they actually banned it in their herbal medicines and supplements in Germany probably 20 years ago.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah.
So there are different ways, but you need to work with one of your health practitioners who can help guide you on the right doses for your needs.
Yeah, I like that. And the lifestyle and all of the advice you gave is just perfect. Now, I want to get back to what you wrote there, where you said 244 years after this momentous July 4th, 1776, we're facing the most devastating and unparalleled assault on every dimension of our independence and freedom as Americans. And you talk specifically here about the guise of protecting us from COVID-19 we have abruptly lost. So we get into the freedom component here, Dr. Lee. You talk about the freedom to travel and move freely around our communities and country. You talk about the freedom of worship, the freedom of speech, the freedom to assemble, the freedom to work normally, the freedom to play and recreate, the freedom to breathe freely. I mean, you've got a whole list of, and then you say freedom to preserve our life with medical doctors and treatments of our choosing, such as what we've been talking about on this show here today, the hydroxychloroquine. So really, this really is about our freedoms and really more so our liberty, isn't it?
It absolutely is, Malcolm. I think this has been the biggest assault on our freedom in this country that I have seen in my lifetime. It's far worse than any of the rationing or other restrictions that were in place during World War II. We've never seen a medical response to any illness that has had this degree of assault on our core freedoms. And I really think the American people need to wake up and realize we better speak out now, because this is a very dangerous precedent that has been set. And if we don't speak out and demand that our elected officials turn this around and go back to our constitutional freedoms, we may have lost them forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people are very fearful of that for sure here. Boy, I have to tell you, don't you just love her? Dr. Elizabeth Leavitt, I'm talking about, how gracious for her to really just connect with all of us and to spend the time talking about the possibilities, our freedoms, the political setbacks, all of the things that are going on, and really how we need to get up over this COVID business. It really is a moment in time to look at our liberty. Isn't it ironic, or should be to everybody, that all of this hits the light of day in the 2020 election, when a private businessman from New York went to Washington, D.C. to drain a swamp? And after the assaults for 3.5 years, the political assaults and the personal assaults and the assaults on the American people, we see what has taken place as we have the best economy and the best forward-looking country and the position of our nation back as we turned into what was supposed to be perfect vision 2020. Wow. Imagine that. I talked to you the other day about that, coming into January, you know, and look what's happened in the past 6 months of our nation here. Sad is not the right word, people. As I've said to you the other day, disgusting is more of an appropriate word. And there's far more adjectives than that, which we won't need to use here. But it clearly is disgusting what has taken place here. So you hear the plea again and the passion in what we try to do here to each and every American here. And we need your help to get this message out there. There is no two ways about it. Now, you hear some of the truth of this on Viewpoint this Sunday, which is, you know, my news magazine on the weekends that plays 10 a.m. Eastern time with an encore at 6 p.m. on the weekends. It is our number one program and a terrific news magazine that is acclaimed and doing exceptionally well. It's really grown a listener base there. But you'll catch me through the week here on The Voice of a Nation, which plays at 6 p.m. And that encore is at 10 p.m. Eastern time now. Just do the time zone math wherever you're at there. And that's how you'll catch all of this here. But there's a lot more programming. Tremendous hosts, tremendous shows, articles, columnists, op-eds from all around the globe. It is a worldly mission to secure our freedom. And all of that, my friends, my fellow Americans, is back, AmericaOutLoud.com. Tremendous thank you to my friend and terrific patriot, Dr. Elizabeth Leavitt. My friends, it is a mission of a lifetime, and one I hope you'll join us on. It's time to get involved and get loud.